Amen. It's good to know that the Lord is dependable. He is trustworthy. We can always count on Him. He will carry us through. Indeed, He will provide us with everything that we need. We can't always count on men, but we can always count on the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. This day has been designated traditionally as Father's Day. And I'm glad that the world pauses at least one time in the year and focuses attention on fathers. But as was indicated earlier this morning, we need to regard every day as Father's Day. And we need to be thankful to God for our fathers. I've known a lot of fathers in my time, as you have as well. I've known some poor fathers. I've known some sorry fathers. But I've known some good fathers. And I've also known some great fathers. Yet, in all of my born days, I have never yet had the privilege or the opportunity of meeting a perfect father. But we're all striving to improve. And we should all, as fathers, be committed to improving and becoming better fathers. You know, somebody might say or might think, well, my children are grown. They have left the nest. So I don't have to worry about improving or growing or further developing as a father. But I politely beg to differ with you. No matter what the status of your children or where your children might be, there's always room for improvement as a father. Because when we grow personally and when we grow spiritually, we enhance and enlarge our legacy as fathers. We become better fathers. We become better examples. I commend to you the several articles in the bulletin placed there by Sister Barbara Kuhl. I want to take my hat off to her. I like to do this periodically because she does a very fine job with the bulletin. And if we are not careful, we can fail to take advantage of the hard work that she puts into preparing a quality bulletin week after week. Each of the articles that appear in today's bulletin is relevant, significant, thought-provoking, and challenging. So don't let this day pass without reading these articles very carefully. As we did and as we usually do on Mother's Day, we have the mothers to stand. Today I'm going to ask briefly for all of our fathers to stand. Will you gentlemen stand, please? If you are a father, you have children. You gentlemen look pretty good. And we thank God for you. You may be seated. Want to focus our attention first of all on that time-honored passage from the book of Joshua, the very last chapter of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. This was the passage that was read just a moment ago. It's one with which most of us are familiar. This is what I regard as part of Joshua's farewell address. He says in these two verses, which are impregnated with great truth, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Be authentic, be genuine in your service to the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Fear the Lord. We think about the wise preacher's admonition. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, where he says, "Let us therefore hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need more God-fearing men who take seriously their responsibilities and obligations. God-fearing men make the best fathers. Men who are committed to serving God make the best fathers. And there are a lot of fathers who are regarded as good fathers outside the ark of safety, outside the secure confines of God's family, who provide well for their children. They provide good clothes for them. They provide a nice, comfortable home for them. They provide good, nutritious meals for them. Some provide them with their own cars, provide them with a good education, and provide them with computers and with iPhones and Xboxes and all kinds of luxuries. They go without nothing on the physical plane, but they fail to provide the most important, the most needed things in life. They fail to provide them with spiritual security. We talked about social security. Naomi was concerned about the security of Ruth and did what she could to make arrangements so that Ruth could hook up with a husband who would be eventually a father to her child and who could provide for her and could provide for their child. It's a beautiful story of the overriding providential care of God. Somebody has stated appropriately, I think, that there are seven, probably a lot more, but seven well-defined, definitive, positive purposes for marriage. Partnership is one of them. The first problem man experienced on the planet was the problem of loneliness. The Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And so God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and God performed the first surgical operation. I was talking to a lady at the prison jail ministry workshop at Heritage Christian University on Friday in Florence, Alabama, and she had on scrubs. And I looked at her name tag, and it had anesthesiologist. And she said she's a member of the Body of Christ, the Killing Church of Christ in Killing, Alabama. But she said when people look at her and the kind of work that she does, she said, "I have a lot in common with preachers. Both of us put folks to sleep." I hope not to do that this morning. But God put Adam to sleep and opened up his side and took out a rib. And from that rib, he made a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Somebody said that when the Lord brought Miss Eve and presented her to Adam as his bride, that he was so excited. I didn't say the Bible said this, and I said somebody said he was so excited that he said, "Whoa, man!" That might have validity, but that was the first marriage ceremony performed. Adam became a husband. Adam became a father. When I think about father, I think about a man who has children. But it takes more than just having children to be a father. When I look at the words or the letters that compose or comprise the word father, first I see the F. And I like to think of a father as being faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to his wife. And faithful to his children. Faithful to his creator, faithful to his companion, and faithful to his children. And I will elaborate on that in just a moment. But a father must be faithful if he is to secure and sustain the approval and the blessings of God. But not only must he be faithful, he needs to be attentive, he needs to be available. You know, you have a lot of absentee fathers. Fathers who don't live with their children and who don't live with their wives or the mothers of their children. They are absentee fathers, but we need available fathers. Fathers who are available to the Creator. Fathers who are available to their companions. Fathers who are available to their children. And then that T. Teachable and trustworthy. Trustworthiness always precedes trust. We have to develop and cultivate and maintain trustworthiness if we want others to trust us. A lot of children don't trust their parents, and with good cause. They have not proven to be trustworthy. They have not proven to be count honorable. A lot of wives don't trust their husbands because they have let them down time and time again. They have failed to provide the basic foundational and fundamental necessities that every child deserves, that every wife deserves. Good father is trustworthy. You can count on him in the good times and in the bad times. The Creator can count on him, like he was able to count on Job. The companion can count on him. The children can count on him. Father, faithful. Available, attentive, teachable, trustworthy. The last three words of Father, or last three letters rather, H-E-R. But as we focus on the H, a father. First, needs to be a husband. I like for that H to stand for husband. Being a husband is the appropriate and proper prerequisite to being a father. We need more husbands as fathers. I'm thankful that we have a number of fathers, and I want you to understand this properly. Don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. I'm thankful that we have, and this was something reflected in something Barbara had in the bulletin, I'm thankful that although we have a number of fathers who are not husbands, who have children, some of whom have never been married, some fathers have never been married, some fathers are divorced. Those are some of the harsh and unfortunate realities of life with which we must grapple and with which we must cope. But simply because you are a single father or a father with children, and you're not a husband yet, that is no cause for despair. That does not invalidate or nullify your ability to be a godly father and to provide properly for your children if you put your hand in the hand of Jesus. If you invest your trust in the Lord, you can be a good father. So you don't have to hang your head in shame. If you are pursuing a lifestyle of righteousness and godliness, and if you take seriously the message of Paul in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We can embrace that lifestyle regardless of our marital status, because we can always change the course of our lives by virtue of submitting to God's will and through the process of repentance. No matter where we are currently, no matter what our situation currently, we can bring our lives into alignment with God's will. And we can experience being new creations with new orientations, new commitments, new loyalties, new goals and objectives, embracing a brand new lifestyle. Fathers need to be encouragers. Your children need encouragement. They need to be edified. They need to be built up. It tears me up to see a father tear down a child and undermine their self-esteem, their sense of somebodyness that derives from the reality of them having been made in the image of God. Encourage your children. Build up your children, help your children to feel good about themselves. Not just developing an appropriate and healthy self-esteem, but also, and more significantly and in a larger sense, developing the proper Christ esteem, allowing Christ to be central in your life. Amen. We need fathers who are righteous, committed to living for God. Fathers who are committed to living righteously. The last three letters focus on her. See the F-A-T-H-E-R. It's So you can't have children without her. You can't be a father without her. You can't be a husband without her. And if you love your children, if you want what's best for them, you need to take seriously your responsibilities and obligations to her. You need to put forth every effort to do everything you can to promote the welfare of her. I mentioned the fact that there are a number of purposes that we can identify definitively for marriage. Partnership, I mentioned, is one. Provision is another. Protection is another. Procreation is another. Purity is another. Pleasure is another. The arena of matrimony is the only place that God has designated where individuals can enjoy the transcendent and euphoric pleasure that derives in meaningful, committed sexual intimacy between two persons as husband and wife. Naomi was concerned about Ruth being provided for, being protected, and having progeny, which is just another word for offspring or for children. That's what God has designed. There's so much more I could say, but remember, as we look at Ephesians chapter 5, that oft-quoted passage, it lets us know again what things God wants the husband to do for her. Ephesians 5, starting with verse number 21. I know it's a familiar passage. Well, let's start with verse 20, Ephesians 5. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you thank God for your mama? Huh? Do you thank God for your father? Well, you might, well, my father has not really been there for me. Or my father is not really what he ought to be. Or my father has let me down. Even so, if it were not for your father and her, you wouldn't be here, would you, Sister English? And the thing that's significant, too, is that we can always honor our fathers. And you know the best way to honor your Father is by honoring our Heavenly Father. You can't do better than honoring God by living for Him. So we want to thank God for our fathers. And he says, with reference to our relationships with each other, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Amen.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, this is the part I want to really get to. Any of y'all young folks aspire to having a husband? Anybody? One day, maybe, sometime in the future. I see young folks shaking their heads. Those will be the first ones to walk down the aisle. But the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You want to do something wonderful for your children, love their mama. Love her like Christ loved the church. Love her sacrificially like Christ loved the church. To sacrifice is to give up something of value in the interests of something of greater value or having a more pressing claim. That's what sacrifice is all about. Christ did that for the church because he gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's telling us as husbands how to treat, how to relate to her, H-E-R. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Do you nourish your wife? Do you cherish your wife, husbands, fathers? That's what the Lord does. Verse 31, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. We pray that God will bless all fathers, not just on Father's Day or because it is Father's Day, but that he'll bless us each and every day, and that we will bow in continual submissive obedience to his divine will, seeking always to do those things that are well pleasing and acceptable in his sight. You know, it means so much to me, quarrels, to hear fathers say, that's my son, he's a good boy, I'm proud of him, he honors me, saved by obedience and by the way he lives, and he has a good work ethic. He's dedicated and devoted to the Lord. He's done well in school. He treats his wife well and his children well. You know, to hear that coming from your father, that has to make you feel good, doesn't it? Even for a little child, son, I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. Good job. Children need that kind of affirmation regardless of their age. Doesn't make any difference whether they are 6, 16, 26, or 66. They can use that affirmation. I know that if God thought it was important enough to affirm his son, it's important enough for us to affirm our sons and our daughters. You remember when Christ came up out of the water in Matthew chapter 3 when he was baptized of John in Jordan, verse number 17, the heavens were open. The Holy Spirit descended upon Christ in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, this is the Father speaking, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him on a high mountain apart, and Moses and Elias appeared there with Jesus, talking to him. Peter got all excited and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us therefore build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. But while Peter was still in the process of making his motion, he was divinely overruled because a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of that cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When we hear him, husbands, fathers, we will treat her right. H-E-R-F-A-T. H-E-R. May God bless all of us. Better fathers. If you're here and you've not surrendered to the will of the great God of glory by obeying the gospel of Christ, you can do it today, and we'd like to encourage you to do it today. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross in our stead, in our place, on our behalf for our sins. He died, took him down and buried him. He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day, making our salvation possible. Believe that good news of the gospel with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Doesn't make any difference what you have done, how egregiously you have fallen and disappointed God, you can have a new start today if you'll confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. You can arise from the watery grave to live a brand new life. You can become a brand new father, a brand new husband. You say, I'm already a member of the church. I've already been baptized. That's wonderful. If you've fallen, if you've been unfaithful, if you have failed to be faithful as a father and attentive and be available as a father and to be trustworthy as a father, You can correct that today through repentance, confession, and prayer. We'll be delighted to pray with you and for you that you might be healed, that you might be made whole. Do you have the courage? Do you have the sincerity that will cause you to make the needed changes and adjustments in your life that you can be the very best person that you can be? If you're here in either category, we urge you to respond as we together stand and as we sing.
Would you be free from your burdens of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you always feel a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder the working power in the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passions and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to care, restore the wonderful power in the blood. There is power. There's power, wonder the working power in the blood.